So, hi everyone. Welcome to another Feline Division Chat and Chuckle. Today we're talking about working with hybrid cats. If you don't know what a hybrid cat is, typically any type of cat that has some type of cat that is not a domestic cat mixed in at some point in their lineage. So it goes all the way from first generation to, dozens of generations removed. Most common ones are Bengals and Savannahs, and they do have a couple of different, higher needs and different behaviors and personalities than regular domestic cats. So our guest today is Michelle. And Michelle, if you want to introduce yourself, plug your business, talk about yourself, go for it.
Okay. Hi, I'm Michelle Martia. I am the chair of the Equid Committee for the Pet Professional Guild. My business is essential animal training, and I work with pretty much all species, so mainly canine, equine, and exotic pets. And I have had five Bengals of my own. I only have one now. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So I feel like anyone that works with cats or has owned them, like has a Bengal story. I have several Bengal stories. I have a couple Savannah stories too, but Bengals are a lot more common. So I think we could definitely tell some of our stories. But I guess you are the one who has had a ton of them and lived with them for a good period of time. What would you say? People, you would want people to know about them, whether it be pet owners or behavior consultants working with them.
I think the biggest issues that I ran into with all of mine were litter box issues. They will spray, both the males and the females, will spray all over your house anytime they get stressed or their territory disputes between the cats or just because they will literally spray everywhere. And as far as the litter box goes, they really, really like a very big open space litter box, super deep litter that they can dig in. They like to be able to see all around them. You can't stick a litter box in a corner and definitely can't cover it up if you have multiple. So if you have just one, I don't know, but with multiple cats, they need to be able to see who's coming. There's a lot of territorial kind of issues that go on as well.
So did you, when you had kind of the marking issues or house cleaning issues at home, did you kind of figure it out? Were you able to solve them, or is it just something that you sort of kind of have to resign yourself to living with if you do have Bengals?
That's a tough one because I had six at one time, six cats at one time, and five of them were Bengals. And I live in a relatively small space. So that's kind of it depends on the cat and the motivation behind the spraying. We had a neighbor with an intact male dog who decided to come over and spray on our door, on our front door
Oh,
outside.
fun.
And that's what triggered one of my male Bengal cats to start spraying everywhere. And so before that he hadn't sprayed at all ever. And so with him it was kind of just a matter of keeping him away from the front door. With one of my females, she didn't like the litter box at all. It didn't matter what the substrate was. So what ended up working for her was to put she had a specific corner of the counter that she liked to spray in. So if I had wee-wee pads on the floor for her to pee on and wee-wee pads in that corner for her, she would pretty much stick to those places. She would spray other places as well, but if I kept her corner kind of uncluttered and wee-wee pads on the walls, and then it was contained. So it was a little bit more management than anything.
Yeah, still probably management beyond what most, at least most of my clients would be willing
Pet owners,
to
yeah.
do. Yeah, and just to be clear, like, because we have people of all different levels and audiences watching this sometimes, any cat can spray. That's not just Bengals. I think they're definitely, I don't know if it's like a research thing, like I was saying, or if it's just an anecdotal thing, but like I think everyone that's worked with cats for a while can agree they are a lot more prone to it. And I pretty much know that if I get a history form back from a client, they put the breed a cat as Bengal, it's going to be aggression or spray. I've been getting an influx of aggression between cats for Bengals recently, but it used to be all aggression towards people, and spray.
Another quick point is that both male and female cats can spray too. It's not just males. A lot of people think that it's just males, but it's both
Yeah.
sexes spray.
And if you're spayed and neutered, they also can still spray.
Yes,
So.
all of mine were spayed and neutered. And of all of my five, only two of them never sprayed. And one of those had another litter, a different litter box problem. So she would poop outside of the box. She would pee in the box, but she would poop outside of the box.
I think if you would have tried to hire me when you had six cats and five were Bengals, I would have said, I'll refer you to someone else. It's just so
It was
complicated.
doable. I definitely would not recommend it to anyone, professional or otherwise, but we made it work. We managed the household pretty well. We had one cat that stayed in my room and one cat that stayed in my son's room, and the rest kind of in the greater part of the room, and it worked. The one in my son's room had supervised playtime outside of the room with everyone else. The one in my room was in my room by choice. She never wanted to leave the room, so
Yeah, and I think this is a thing that people maybe need to come to terms or understand when they have multiple cats, that sometimes the goal or the best outcome is kind of space management and not having everyone in the same space, because sometimes it's just impossible to have six cats who are friends with everyone. And I know, Laura, that you have more than that, and they are all kind of friendly, and you don't have to live in a house divided, but sometimes that's the best outcome.
And my house is not the norm, and people always think I have some kind of magic solution to having a harmonious eight cat household, and it's not. Like, I still have minor issues. Nobody's separated, but there still are spats between, some of the cats don't really care for each other. And six out of my eight were foster fails, so I kept them specifically because they got along with everyone else. There were only two that were just brought in randomly, and they were both kittens. So,
So that's kind of different.
yeah.
So,
And mine weren't actually separated because they didn't get along. The one that was in my room, like I said, she never wanted to leave my room. And the one in my son's room was actually there because he would eat anything and everything available. He would come up and steal food right out of your hand if you were eating. So we had to keep him kind of he also didn't have proper feline etiquette. So he would get right up in everybody else's faces. He just didn't know, like he just didn't recognize social cues when the other cats were like, "Go away, leave me alone." There was a lot of management around him because of that. But he could come out supervised and play and hang out with the other cats, and he was okay. It was just if he was out too long, they would get like overwhelmed by him.
So I think if we're talking about like Bengals are more prone to spraying? Like, kind of why is that? And I've just had so many spraying cases recently. So I usually explain it to my clients, like, we're coming from a place of insecurity when they are spraying. So it's usually rooted in stress and anxiety and the need to, kind of claim the space as theirs, because there may be, there might be an intact dog spraying on the door and threatening your property, or, just conflict between the cats, or, and it's not always outright conflict either. A lot of people miss those really subtle signs of conflict between cats, the kind of passive aggressive things. Things like,
Sure.
having that self-segregation behavior where you don't want to leave one room, because you're not comfortable in the rest of the house, kind of thing. And I think that Bengals are more prone to, this is my hypothesis, I think that they're more prone to it because they have such higher needs compared to a lot of domestic cats. And I mean, we all struggle with getting people to just do play and enrichment with their regular domestic cats. But I think a lot of people come into Bengals thinking they're hypoallergenic or they're really pretty, and I really just want like the status of having a wild cat in my house, and they don't think about it, especially these people who are getting like the higher up generations, like the F1, F2s, whatever. And they're like, I just got this, this F1 Bengal or this F1 Savannah. And I also see a lot of people let them outside freely because they can't handle the behavior inside. They need them to go outside. So I personally think that they are more prone to all these different behavior issues because most people are not meeting their needs properly.
Yeah.
Not that you're, not blaming you for, just
Oh, no, I would
in
definitely
general.
wasn't meeting all of my cat's needs. It's really hard to do when you're in a small apartment, work full time, and have six of them.
And yeah, I will say, like, I often say, like, my cat behavior consulting business is like my second job, and taking care of eight cats and keeping them happy is my first full-time job. And I think, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people look at me and like think that, I don't know, think that it's a good idea or it's possible. And no, it's not.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I feel like anybody that has more than four cats and they try to hire me, I just cringe. I'm like, no, it's probably not going to go as well as people.
I think the reason why we end up with so many is professional capacity. It kind of comes with the business. So I certainly didn't go out and pick my all of my cats. One was showed up in my backyard, and ended up in the house and was going to be adopted out, but ended up staying because he just failed both times we tried to adopt him out. And a couple of my Bengals came to me because they were problems elsewhere, and so I ended up with them. So it's not something that I think most of us don't go out and we're like, oh yeah, I want to have six cats. You know, so it, yeah, I think that that's, you look at somebody like me or you who have multiple cats and we make it work. But yeah, that's because this is our like life. This is what we do. And we have a skill set that the average pet owner probably doesn't have to be able to manage all of these animals.
And I think sometimes we're willing to put up with a lot more than other people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, who's gonna put tape wee wee pads to their counter walls every day?
So you kind of mentioned, the enrichment needs, and so I think we talk about enrichment needs and the enrichment for cats like all the time. But like, how are the Bengals different from your normal, your average cat? And I know that there is no such thing as a normal. Every cat is different, and every cat's enrichment needs levels are different. But We're talking averages here.
No.
Something that people like, if people are thinking, oh, I want to have a Bengal, need to maybe take under consideration or think about.
My experience has been that they generally have lower frustration tolerance levels. They generally are higher energy. They are generally very intelligent. They are not going to be satisfied, and most cats aren't, but especially not Bengals, with a couple of toys thrown on the floor that stay there every day for years. And I think they, I mean, this is, we, there are all different, generally all cats are individuals or whatever, but that's what I've found. I don't know what you think, Michelle.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think they just, in terms of enrichment, I mean, what we encourage people to do with their domestic cats, I think that the hybrids just need more options. You might get away with just a couple cat trees in your house for your regular cats, but you're going to want more, much more vertical options for a hybrid. You might be able to just, like you said, toss some toys on the floor and leave them for your regular cats. But with hybrids, you're going to need to rotate toys and have more options and do more with the toys. You can't just throw them on the floor. Like I have people that I try to get them to hide the toys somewhere that, a little bit of the toys sticking out for the cat to run across and like, oh my God, there's my last toy in this random place. Anything that simulates like the hunting behavior, any piece of the hunting sequence that you can kind of replicate in some way with toys or the way you feed them or the way you interact with them, I think can be very helpful. Where are you going?
Something I learned last year was that the Cat Fanciers Association, they do recognize Bengals as a breed, that you can show Bengals, breed Bengals with CFA. But I think they said they only accept into their registration, it's either there's an F4 or F5 or greater removed. They don't accept anything generationally above that, which I think is good. I have, yeah, I would say I have ethical concerns about hybrid cats in general, because most people are not Michelle. And I don't think that there are many houses, at least not the majority of people who want cats are prepared for that. It's kind of like, the these working dog breeds like the Belgian Malinois and like the Huskies, even like people really shouldn't have those dogs as pets most of the time. So I thought that, when I learned about what CFA does, I thought that was a good compromise, where they really aren't encouraging people to deal with anything that is more closer to the wild animal, trying to remove them as far as possible before they encourage it. As I just, yeah, and I'm sure I see a lot more than what most people see when I'm dealing with clients and people who have all of these behavior issues with these cats and.
Well, another thing that I have come across quite a bit with the hybrids is the vocalizing. They vocalize a lot more and a lot louder than your average domestic cat. They also tend to be harder to handle if they're not brought up. With that in mind, they're harder to handle at like the vet clinics and stuff. I remember when I first contacted my vet and said, oh, I have a Bengal cat, the look of horror on his face, like you didn't. Oh my God. And every time I brought my Bengals in, I always had a lot of compliments of how nice they were and how good they were, which is all fine and good, but there's that dark side to that. Like I knew, because this is, again, my profession, I knew that that meant that they have a lot of Bengal cats that aren't good. So, but yeah, the vocalizing can be really tough to deal with, especially when it happens in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep and it sounds like a baby's being murdered in the next room.
The last one that I fostered five total over the years. The last one that I fostered was a 14-year-old four-paw declaw Bengal. And I think she was having some cognitive decline on top of everything. I have never in my life heard a cat as loud as that cat. It was unbearable. It was awful. Awful. And then she got out while her adopter was on vacation, and I had to go pick her up from the shelter. They scanned her microchip, and we were still on it. And that car ride, I could hear her in the shelter from the front lobby. Like, so yeah, that is very true. My favorite Bengal was he was I think 2 years old. I found out about him. He was in a county shelter and they were planning on euthanizing him. He had been surrendered for aggression to people. He had bitten multiple people, attacked people, whatever. And he was so bad in the shelter that they weren't able to handle him at all. Like they couldn't open the cage door, nobody could get near him. They had to fully sedate him to put him in my carrier to take home.
Wow.
And I found out about this cat, and of course, I'm a stupid idiot. And I'm like, give me him, I'll take him. I mean, first of all, he had never seen another cat before. And luckily, he was the type of cat who's never seen another cat before and thought it was the coolest thing ever. So I started him off. We did clicker training. He got to play with other cats. He had a catio. He had, all kinds of stuff. He was getting his needs met. And honestly, I got him and I was like, I will never have a Bengal. That was my first one. His biggest thing was he really, every time I opened the fridge, he wanted to get in the fridge. And I could not remove him from the fridge without being attacked. He did not want to be redirected for any reason, anything. This was also like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago before I knew as much as I did now. I knew enough. But I was like, I can't imagine living with this cat full time. And he was not biting anyone or attacking anyone other than the fridge thing with me because I had done my research and everything. And I got him adopted. And he is still there and doing great. But that's an example of how quickly things can go south with these cats when people are not prepared to have them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I wonder what was so interesting in your fridge. Was it the food? Was it the cold? Was it
I don't know, but it was like a magnet. He would just come running from wherever he was and get in the fridge. I was like, had to do some really big management. He would definitely like prevent you from snacking if you needed to be on a diet. You'd only open it if you really needed
I really need to. I need really need to think about the times I'm opening the
Yeah. And I didn't know
fridge.
as much as I did as I do now back then. I wonder if like doing mat training or something would have fixed that problem, or teaching him, to go somewhere else. But
I'm just, always kind of thinking, what's the function of the behavior, right? Why is
yeah,
the fridge? Why? What?
that's
What?
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I kind of was wondering, like, well, cats prefer warm spaces, not cold spaces. So
Depends.
Bengals are
Depends on the
weird.
cat.
Bengals are weird. So yeah, so
Depends
that's why I was wondering, okay,
on
are the
the
Bengals
cat.
different? Are they like running hot? Like, I don't know, like the
I mean,
Husky.
we all know that cats don't like water, right? But get a
Well,
Bengal.
no, that's not true. No,
Right. But the average person thinks, there's a common understanding that cats don't like water. But then you meet a Bengal, or I mean, there's plenty of domestics that really like water too, but it's actually a Bengal trait, and you find them in the sink with the water running and you're like, what is going on here? So yeah, I mean, you think that most cats like warm spaces, but there's always that one. So
I wonder, I think it was probably that it was fun to climb because I remember him like starting at the bottom and then like getting up higher, and it was like his little jungle gym type of thing. Maybe. I don't know. It could have been cold. It could have been just to get on my nerves. It could have been whatever.
Well, it was definitely getting him an attention, and
Yeah, you're right.
yeah. And he always, I think he always, well, I haven't heard from them in a while, but it would be nice to know like if he's still short fused, or if, proper nourishment and care and everything has eventually worked that out of him. Because he was very much like, do not tell me no, I will not.
Yeah, I had a cat like that who was not a Bengal, who was just a cat. He was just, and he was very much my baby, and I was his mom, and I could tell him, or like, we could set up boundaries. But if my husband tried to like move him from a space or anything, oh no.
Oh boy.
It was
Yeah.
it was like, you are not my father.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it's not just Bengals, I guess. Yeah. So you've mentioned savannas. So it's very like, because I have not, I've only worked with a couple of Bengals, and so I don't have an extensive experience in them. So it's very like it's very different between Bengals and the savannas from your
Savannas
experience.
are quite a bit larger
Yeah.
usually
They're
than
mixed with
Bengals.
their serval instead of Asian leopard cat, which are larger
Small,
animals.
yeah. Asian leopard cats are pretty small, so
Yeah.
yeah, savannas are they tend to be much larger, which that alone is already a reason to, really consider the animal, because you need considerably more space, larger litter boxes. You're not going to Walmart to pick up a regular cat litter box for
No.
Savannah by any stretch of the eye. I could get away with that with my little Bengal here. She's my smallest one, but Savannahs they're much bigger. And of course, with size comes more risk in terms of if the cat is at all aggressive or even defensive, the potential for injury is a lot greater.
I had
So
some.
with,
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
yeah, so the, so would you say that they are more, do they prefer to be in a kind of living with other cats, or are they more solitary than an average cat?
I don't know.
I think it depends on probably how they're raised and environment and individual.
I guess I was just wondering, because a lot of wild cats do tend to be more solitary and prefer kind of.
Yeah, I wonder if it has anything to do with how far removed they are from serval, or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Servals are pretty.
Very large. They're what, probably like 80 pounds.
Yeah, but they're pretty social. I mean, I don't know how social they are with other cats, but people who own servals are they're They're very, very social cats.
Oh no, so yeah, that's why I did not really use the word social.
Yeah, I don't know how they are with like other cats. I mean, I think cats in general, wild or domestic, are a little more solitary than some of the other species of animals, but they're still social as well, so they do interact. So yeah, I honestly have no idea. I don't know about either savannas or, well, I guess Bengals tend to do better if they're in pairs.
Okay, so I'm just, Wikipedia, because that's the source of all the knowledge, right? So
Right.
let's say that the serval is a solitary carnivore. So
Interesting.
which makes sense. Which makes sense, because yeah. As far as I know, the only cat that lives in groups are lions.
Lions, yeah.
Am I
I
right
think cheetahs
there?
like each other, don't they?
Oh.
Cheetahs.
Oh, do they?
I don't think they live in groups, though.
I
I
don't
think
think they
they
live
have
in
like
like
family
pairs
units,
or
but
family.
yeah,
They
I don't
have,
know.
not like a
They
whole
have
land
like they
thing.
have usually two cubs, right? Cheetahs do. Oh my God, someone comment on Facebook if I'm completely wrong.
I mean, you're right that they are more social, or they like to have like companion, because a lot of times in the zoos they will have a companion dog, but they will not have like two cheetahs together.
And yeah.
So,
Interesting.
right. So,
Yeah.
when I was went to San Diego Zoo a while ago, they had the oh, male cheetahs brothers often live together. There you go. Thank you, Katie. So, okay, yeah, so we were wrong.
Was
Oh,
right. Cheetahs are
but
social.
yeah. Yes, so they
Cheetahs
look.
are the probably the I don't know if friendly is the right word, but they're the easiest to handle in like the zoo.
I
They're
just
the
have
least
this.
likely to maul you.
Yeah, I just have this fantasy of a cheetah living in my house, is all. But it will never happen, but
Yeah.
I would love that.
You'd need a really, really, really big backyard.
I'd also love that, and I like a mansion too. So when that happens, I'll get my cheetah.
Yeah, there you go.
Or not, because we should not be keeping wild pets,
Unless
wild animals as pets.
you're me, I'm special.
Here is the he's did the necessary disclaimer that we should have. Please
Yeah.
don't get a cheetah, don't get a tiger, don't get a lion, do not.
Yeah.
Don't get us, probably not, probably don't even get a serval. All these cats.
Servals are a lot of work.
Yeah, they don't belong in a household.
So I just had a couple weeks ago a potential client reach out that had a F1 Savannah, and I ended up declining to work with him. He was having trouble introducing the Savannah to his other cats. So there you go. F1. So he was keeping the Savannah in essentially an extra large dog crate with a litter box and Oh
a water
my.
bowl and a bed. And he was like, that's the only thing that keeps her calm. And she's so relaxed in there. She just lays around. And I'm like, no, that's not what she's doing. So
That's a
I'm like,
recipe for disaster.
can you keep her? Do you have a room to keep her in separate from the other cat so she could have like some opportunities to have normal and natural behaviors? And he's like, I tried to put her in her room and she screamed and destroyed my door. And I was like, sir, you have a wild animal in your house. What did you expect? But he was not hearing anything that I said. And I'm like, I think it's best to rehome the cat. And then he threw it at the last minute after not mentioning this in multiple emails before that he can't handle the cat because she's so aggressive and she tries to attack him. I'm like, why? First of all, who sold you this cat? Second of all, why can't you give the cat back to them? And like, what are you doing with your life? So I'm positive that that cat's not going to end up being euthanized. Yeah, poor cat.
Yeah.
But it was not
or
worth it
rehomed.
to someone else equally as stupid that will be
Yeah.
attacked. And yeah.
Yeah.
So don't get one.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, if I had no other pets and I had, like, I have a catio, but I would, if you even want to have a much bigger catio, I would consider having an F1 Savannah as my only pet. And that's the only cat animal that I had to take care of and the only animal I had to provide for. And I could spend all of my time on that cat. And it was a rescue and I didn't have to buy it. Maybe. But that's the only, and I'm a professional. Like, I'm a professional. This is all I do. I would not want that cat in any other circumstances.
After having Bengals, I would never get any of them.
No.
No F anythings.
No.
No servals, no Bengals, no Savannas, nothing.
I think, like, it's important to talk about this stuff because, I mean, people, like I said, I did have that guy reach out to me, and at first I was stoked. I was like, I cannot wait to work with this cat. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna do so much together. And then it turned out like that. And I think sometimes, like, I think especially with these hybrid cats, you do hit disappointment more frequently than you, I mean, you do have your success stories. Obviously, there are people who are really dedicated and they just, we're in over their heads, but they're willing to learn and they're willing to put the time in, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there are people who didn't realize that Bengals are much more likely to spray or that your F1 Savannah cat might be aggressive. And
Or whether they need more enrichment and
yeah.
more. I had to talk someone out of getting a Bengal, and they were in the med school, and I'm like,
Nope.
no way, in like, no, please do not, no.
Anytime I hear of somebody who's considering getting a hybrid of any sort, I tell them not to. And it's not that they're not wonderful cats with the right people, but if I don't want that cat in my house, and I do foster a lot of Bengals when they come to me because I don't want anybody else to take them. I foster them because I feel like I have an obligation. I would not, I would, I just would not own one. That's not for me.
Yeah.
Now
No,
I've had
it's
numbers of people when they obviously when they find out that I have Bengals, they're like, oh, I always wanted one of those, or I really want one. And I just ask them why, because usually from there I can lead the conversation into all of the reasons why you probably actually don't want a Bengal.
Yeah,
And
because nine times out of ten, they're so beautiful.
That's every single person I've ever talked to, that was the response I got, because
Yeah.
they're so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is your couch and your bed
Yeah. Your
and your
countertop.
walls and your curtains and your ceiling.
Yeah. Now, usually once I tell a couple of stories about some of the issues that I had with mine, just the litter box issues. I don't even know you need to get into any of the other stuff. But just the spraying on the front door or spraying on the countertop, and people are like, oh yeah, maybe I don't really want one of those.
You have to definitely be a certain type of person. Like, there are, if we compare them to those working dog breeds again, like, there are those people that, like, do the dog sports with them and, like, do tons of enrichment activities and tons of exercise and give them a job to do and, like, stuff they were bred to do. And, like, there are people who really enjoy doing that kind of stuff. But for me, when I just talked to someone. I had a client this morning, who was dealing with a house soiling case with a new baby, and the cat is stressed. And I'm like, we're going to need to talk about play enrichment for this cat. And I'm like, I'm not even going to tell you to to play with your cat because you're not going to. So I have to like pick and choose, like we're going to throw treats down the hallway for him in the morning when you're making your coffee. Like I have to pick at trying to get people to do this stuff for their regular cats. People don't want to play with your cat. A lot of times people see it as a chore and they just don't want to do that stuff. And it has to be a very specific kind of person.
On the other hand, if you do want to do more things with your cat, if you do want to do like trick training or training and maybe get a cat that's going to be more comfortable doing things outdoors, and if you do
Yeah.
if you want to do like cat agility, it's a, once again it's a thing, and you want to compete in some of that stuff, then yeah, then probably a Bengal is a cat for you, because they are much, you know, they are kind of a little bit more into those things and a little bit dog-like. And
Yeah.
would you say that, Michelle, that they kind of pick up things
It,
faster?
it depends. I know there is a young guy here local to me who got a Savannah. And he would come by the local pet shop and bring the Savannah with him. And I think like in that case, I mean, this cat was basically this guy's life. Like, you know, he's a really young guy, he had no responsibilities, and it was just the cat. So, you know, he really, really kind of dedicated himself to harness training the cat and leash training the cat and bringing the cat out and socializing it, and like he'd bring it out in the carrier and, you know, hang out in the pet shop with it, and just I think really kind of, yeah, if that's the kind of person you are and you have that time and you can dedicate really that kind of time and energy, then maybe you're still probably better off with a domestic cat. But yeah, you could do it. Absolutely. But yeah, just be aware that even if you do all those things, you still might be having the neighbors complain because your cat's screaming. You may still have marking and, you know, spraying around your house. You may still have a cat that, I mean, one of my Bengals would destroy crayons. She had an obsession with crayons, and if she got a hold of a crayon, she would demolish it, and it would just be crayon everywhere. One of my other Bengals had a sock fetish, so he would steal everyone's socks and hide them. I have heard of numerous Bengals that were very, it's very common that they have a thing for wires, and they will chew up everything, all of your wires. So all of your phone cord, you know, your chargers, all of that stuff's fair game. Plastic, a lot of Bengals, especially, I'm not sure about other ones, but Bengals like to really chew up plastic. So they can be really destructive too. So even if you do all of that stuff, you still may have to deal with a lot of things that you maybe have way less of a chance of having to deal with a domestic. And domestic cats are, they can be trained to do all of that stuff too. So
So you mean they basically like a mix between a dog and a rabbit?
yeah.
Okay,
Totally.
guys, we've got about 14 minutes left. If anyone has any questions, please pop them in the comments before we go. If you have any questions to Michelle about Bengals or any questions to us at all, we would love to see them. Or if we said something that you would like us to correct, not a real cheetah thing. Thank you, Katie, again. Right, what else? Is there any kind of from the medical standpoint, is there anything special that you need to pay attention to when it comes to Bengals?
Yes, vaccines. You have to be
Okay.
very careful about what you're giving them vaccine wise. I can't really, I'm not an expert on the subject by any means, so I can't really say which
Talk to your veterinarian,
vaccines, but
basically.
yeah, it's definitely something you really, really want to talk to your breeder about and your vet. Now I can't even think of the word. Putting your cat under for surgeries or anything. Ketamine is an absolute no with Bengals.
Okay.
You've got to gas them.
Aren't they prone to heart disease too, HCM?
Yeah, in certain lines, yeah. And that's something you want to go over with your breeder for
Yeah.
sure.
And I mean, I do Sphinx cats. They're my breed of choice. And sometimes even if you do go with a good breeder and talk to your breeder and make sure the parents are health tested, you still end up with a cat
Yeah.
as
Oh yeah.
HCM. So I think whenever we're working with any of these, I don't even want to call Bengals a purebred cat, but any of the, I guess they are considered purebreds
Yeah,
from
I think once you get down to a certain generation.
yeah, like whenever you're dealing with those cats that I guess are more likely to be inbred and have closer genes all related to each other, you have to deal with health issues too. So I
So
guess, yeah.
what else would you like talking if you let's say you know everything would like you've taken everything that we just said about Bengals and you are that person who is going to do all those things for them, and you're going to go and find a breeder and what questions would you kind of how would you know that they are a good breeder and also what questions should you ask the breeder before you bring your Bengal home, so you know, so like you know everything, or yeah, what should you know? What should you ask them?
So when I first went looking for a Bengal myself, I originally was going to go through Bengal Rescue. And they actually told me no because I had a toddler. And so I found a breeder and I purchased. So some of the questions that I asked the breeder when I was looking for a Bengal, the first thing I did was ask, is this going to be a good cat for my household? And it wasn't so much that I was looking for the answer as I was looking for how the breeder answered. So my breeder, who is now a very close friend, she So I've known her for over 10 years now. So she took the time. She took the time to really go over my household, my lifestyle, my personality, my son's personality to see like, is this really going to be a good cat for your household? And she was very much willing to say no if that was the case. Like she wasn't going to place a cat with me if she didn't think that it was the right fit. So I think it's more like how the breeder answers the questions more than anything. If your breeder is somebody who's going to take the time to educate you and really have a conversation with you, they're probably a pretty decent breeder. Beyond that, I don't know. I think Laura probably knows a little bit more about what to ask.
Yeah, so I've a little bit different with the Sphinx, because my primary concern when I was getting my Sphinx is health, and I still did got bad luck that way. I asked about the parents and their health history, and are they, have they been tested for all of these things? And at that point, yeah, they had been tested clear every year as long as they were alive for heart disease and been fine. So I also, the breeder was very willing to provide references. That was a big thing for me, because I was able to reach out to like three different people who had gotten kittens from her, and they all were thrilled and None of them had health issues with their cats. I just got really lucky. I think the universe like does things people.
They're like, oh, we have a professional here getting a cat. Well, we can give her one of the problem ones.
I just made him a cardiology appointment a couple of days ago. I called and they're like, by the way, the estimated total for your appointment is going to be $840. So yeah, I think we're not talking about sphinxes here, but don't get one of those either. Don't be a stupid idiot like me.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing with some of the exotics. There's vets that won't see them, like
And
if they're hybrid.
I hear all the time when I take him to the vet, especially taking him to a specialist, like he's been to the cardiologist a few times now. They said they almost expect sphinxes to be nasty when they're at. And I've heard that from like a vet tech friend and like other people, like at his primary vet. Like I hear it enough that it's become a pattern. And I'm like, my cat's perfect. Just feed him some Churro and you could literally chop his leg off. He'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot with the Bengals. Yeah.
The references were a big deal for me. I know different breeders have different policies as to like if you can come in and look at the kittens and look at the cats because disease and whatever and all the things, like that's fine. But my breeder sent me so many videos like of my cat in different contexts and playing and like with other cats and doing stuff like and I could tell. I mean, I guess she could have been keeping them in like a dirty cage in the basement and brought them upstairs for the videos, but her house looked nice and normal and the kittens looked clean and happy and well socialized. And like, yeah, when I did get him, like he had been exposed to a lot of things. Breeders that have any type of knowledge on behavior, I think, especially when it comes to Bengals, asking them if you know anything about cat behavior, ask them how they would deal with problem behaviors and see what they say. Because if they're telling you to spray the cat with a squirt bottle, or if they're flat out telling you like we keep the cats in like a kennel type of environment, or they're in a small space, and because we have so many cats or whatever. There's so much when it comes to breeding about, like if moms are exposed to a lot of stress and if they're not, they're not having their needs met because they have so many cats, and that stuff can be passed down to the kittens and all of this stuff. So yeah, I think I was saying earlier, like in my area, for sure, I can identify that there are a lot of not good hybrid cat breeders, especially the person who sold that guy that once. I didn't ask who the breeder was, but I should have because I don't want to have words with her. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't think we ended up getting any
No, we don't have any questions.
questions.
Nobody's asking us things. But we were getting a lot of love, so
Yeah.
that's cool.
Okay, good. Oh, that's good.
I'll
That's good
take that.
love, right?
I'll take that.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle, for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fun conversation, I thought. And if you ever have an equid division chat and chuckle, let me know. I'll find something to talk about.
Absolutely.
So next month we are talking to you're talking to I think it's we're talking to Grace Taylor, who is a professional cat sitter, not pet sitter, only cats. She is a friend of mine, and we have created this very nice collaborative relationship where we are able to refer behavior clients to each other. So I think that's going to be a really cool one next week, because not next week, next month, because I think as cat people, we are often kind of isolated and don't have kind of people to be our partners in businesses. And people don't often think about reaching out to other types of pet businesses other than vets sometimes. So I think that's going to be cool next month if you come and join us next month. So, all right. Do you want to say your business and your contact information and stuff one more time, Michelle, if anybody wants to get in touch with you for any reason?
My business is Essential Animal Training, and you can find me pretty much everywhere under that. So Facebook, Instagram.
All right.
I don't actually do a whole lot professionally with cats, mostly dogs and horses, although I did have a cat client yesterday. But yeah, occasionally I do, but yeah, mostly just equines and canines and sometimes exotics here and there. So,
All right. Well, have a good day, everyone. A good weekend. And thanks for tuning in.
thank you
Thank
all.
you. Bye.